Seven straight for Louisiana's Brendan Allen. He defeated Chris Curtis in the main event of UFC Vegas 90. We are going to be talking about UFC Vegas 90 and breaking it down into really good detail. We'll be talking obviously about Chris Curtis and his hurt leg, which kind of sucks. We'll also talk about, you know, Damon Jackson and Anthony Hernandez. And then Chepe Martial versus the last pirate, Morgan Charriere. And last but not least, we'll also talk about Ignacio Bahamondes and his fantastic win knockout over Christos Yagos. So, yeah, UFC Vegas 90 main event. This was a lot better of a card than our past two have been. The Namajunas win and the Manon Fiorot win. That said, there was some weird shenanigans here. A lot of split decisions. The last three fights were split decisions, and it wasn't because it was like, you know, close fights. It was more like dodgy judging. Brendan Allen, Chris Curtis went to split decision. Damon Jackson won the split decision, and Chepe won the split decision as well. But first, we're going to be talking about Brendan Allen and Chris Curtis because that's the main event. That's what most people over here are clicking and watching for because it's a good fight. And it was. It turned out to be a good fight from the very beginning. So you have sixth-ranked Brendan Allen taking on Chris Curtis, who was ranked 11th. He stepped in on short notice because it was supposed to be Marvin Vettori. So Curtis did him a favor. The guy loves to fight, and who can blame him here? And I'll be honest, I thought Brendan Allen was done early on. So I really had a hard time. I said in like a short before this fight, I said that, you know, I have a hard time because I'm a Louisiana guy. I like Brendan Allen because he's from Louisiana. And I also like Chris Curtis because me and him chat back and forth on X all the time. He's a good guy. You know, he's just a great story is really what I like most about Chris Curtis. And I couldn't make a pick. I really couldn't because it's like, am I going to pick against the Louisiana guy? Absolutely not. Am I going to pick against the homie Chris Curtis? Absolutely not. I'm just going to watch a fun fight and hope it turns out well. I was a bit nervous about the short notice nature of the fight for Chris Curtis, but he came in and showed out just fine. Obviously, the two have a pass. Chris Curtis knocked him out in the second round some years ago, the last loss Brendan Allen had. So now he's on a 7-fight win streak. He was on a 6-fight win streak coming into this card and had a lot to prove on his shoulders. Vettori probably would have been a lot different fight for the type of fighter that a lot more difficult of a fight for Brendan Allen, I should say, than Chris Curtis was because A, he knew what Curtis brings to the table, and B, I feel like Vettori's style is a little bit better suited for Brendan Allen specifically. So Brendan Allen early on, he's getting caught with body shots, and I'm just like, oh, this is not going to be a good night for Louisiana's own Brendan Allen, right? Chris Curtis though was looking great, and you know, he was getting, he's a southpaw, so he's getting that lead hook to the body, and he did a lot of good body work with that lead hook and with the rear hook uppercut to the body as well. So we got to see that from Chris Curtis. And Brendan Allen, you know, he stepped in and he kind of had to make the things his own. Early in the fight, he got Chris to the ground, and I'm like, oh, this could be a short night for Brendan Allen. He might get in here and Chris might be like, hey, this is a short notice fight. And, you know, he got the body triangle. He was on the back hunting the choke. They were dry. And I was like, okay, so we got something going on here. And then the second round, I think it was, Chris Curtis hurt Brendan Allen. I'm like, oh, Chris might be getting it in. So a lot of back and forth in this fight. And it continued like that for the other three rounds, 3, 4, and 5, too. You know, and I think what really won the fight for Brendan Allen was that last few minutes in the fifth round, or the last few seconds in the fifth round, when Chris Curtis' hamstring finally went out. He backed up to the fence, and Allen kind of started doing his thing, started wearing on him. There were several moments in this fight where Brendan Allen, you know, he got the body triangle, and he allowed Chris Curtis to turn into him. And Chris Curtis got the top position. I think he did the right thing of getting up and out of that position. That said, there was a couple times to where Brendan Allen like sussed that out, right? So he knows Chris Curtis is looking to turn into him. So he follows him and he allows him to turn, but he controls the turn and maintains position. Ended up on his back again. Chris Curtis did a good job of getting up and getting out of those positions, though. And I can't say enough about that. Like, I think Chris Curtis is one of those guys that's like a hard test for anybody in this division. Brendan Allen especially. And this was the type of fight where Brendan Allen, like, he's going to get better from this fight. So you'll see there's two types of fights, or there's more than two, but there's two types of fights I like to talk about a lot. And one of them is you fight, it's a hard fight, but you come out of this better. Think about Israel Adesanya versus Kelvin Gastelum. Then there's the other fights. It's like, wow, that took the life out of them. Think Justin Gaethje versus Tony Ferguson. Two wars. Different outcomes. Yeah, Gaethje got better from that fight. He showed that he was a lot better. I think this is the kind of fight that Brendan Allen is going to emerge to be better at in this fight. And I mean, there's a lot of options for what's next for Brendan Allen, and that's another thing we're going to talk about here in a second. But what I think it is, off this 7 fight, he's going to be looking for an 8 fight win streak. But he hasn't really a marquee win, I guess you could say. I actually got my stuff pulled up today, guys, so don't laugh at me. But he hasn't had really a marquee win. He had some good wins, especially on the 7. Karate Combat Champion Sam Alvey. He's beat Bruno Silva, who just lost to Chris Weidman last weekend. Went over Paul Craig. And now Chris Curtis has 3 in a row. And those last two were great. He choked out Paul Craig after a bludgeoning. He beat Bruno Silva in the first round. A bunch of finishes, a bunch of rear naked chokes. Like, he hunts the high percentage finish. The rear naked choke is the highest percentage finish in the sport of MMA. So I really liked what I saw from Brendan Allen. As for what's next, he needs that marquee name. So when the UFC is looking for like the next title contender, they really want you to go in there and beat either former champion, if the division's kind of hot and it changes hands a lot, the title changes hands a lot, or if the division's a little bit stagnant, like there's a long-reigning champion, say middleweight Israel Adesanya, who reigned for forever, you'll see them want him to face a challenger instead of a former champion. And, you know, he needs a title challenger, and he needs to face a title challenger. I mean, there's a couple former champions for Brendan Allen now, and we're going to get into that. But he needs a marquee name win. So I've got 3 options right here for Brendan Allen that I actually really like for him. First, I like the Sean Strickland rematch. So if Brendan Allen's on the train of, you know, avenging his past fights, he's avenged the Chris Curtis loss. Next, his next loss was to Sean Strickland back in 2020, second round knockout. So their teammates, Chris Curtis and Sean Strickland, are. And, he beat, what's his name? He beat Brendan Allen. So that's like the fight to make, right? And then, obviously, the second choice is going to be to rebook the Marvin Vettori fight. Again, like I said, I think that fight's a really tough match stylistically for Brendan Allen. But I think he can get it done. And if he gets better after this fight, because that was a big name fight he got, or a big tough fight he got, I should say. He could put away Marvin Vettori and not really choke him out or anything, Marvin's too tough, but he could win. He could beat Marvin Vettori. I truly think that. And then last, if you want another former title contender, so Strickland's a former title holder, and then Vettori challenged Israel Adesanya, Paulo Costa challenged Israel Adesanya, and that's the third option, Paulo Costa. Costa's coming off the loss, and I understand that, like, Allen doesn't need to fight down off of this. But, like, A, the division's a little bit tied up, so they're talking about Drew and Dricus Duplessis versus Izzy at, like, 305. Strickland's available for now. Jarrett Cannonier and Khamzat Chimaev are going to fight. Robert Whittaker and Khamzat Chimaev are going to fight. And then Cannonier, which is another guy ranked above him, is rumored to be fighting Nasruddin Imovov. So, for Brendan Allen, that leaves very few options. And if Strick's like, nah, I'm not taking this fight, and if Vettori's, like, too hurt or he doesn't want to take the fight, you know, he's going to have to fight down. And that fight would be Paulo Costa. Paulo Costa punches way above his weight in terms of what a win over him is worth, pun intended. especially, like, he punches because he's a fighter, and he also misses weight a lot because he's huge. So, yeah, multiple puns intended, right? As for Chris Curtis, man, he did a lot of good job working the body. Really bummed that he lost, and he's really bummed too. And I mean, you can't blame him, but he did come in here on short notice and brought it to a very close split decision. I can't say, hey, he won via split decision, but a split decision makes sense. This fight was close. A lot of good body work here. You know, he kicked the leg, he kicked high. Allen opened up with open side body kick, which I like to see. So when you're in like a southpaw versus orthodox matchup like this fight was, you're going to get that. You kick the body with your rear legging, and you're going to wear on the gas tank. Whereas Curtis, you know, he hurt him to the body with the punches more often than the kicks. Especially when he was like pushing him on the back foot. Brendan Allen, when he was going forward, was really doing a good job of pressuring Curtis, and that's kind of how he got his takedowns. But once Chris Curtis in that second and third and fourth round started to come forward, he really really made Allen second guess his motion. So yeah, good win for Brendan Allen, man. He might jump Marvin Vettori, who's ranked five. So we might see them swap places. Vettori 6, Allen 5, because he's more active, and that's what they're going to do. Or not, and you can rebook that fight anyway. So, yeah. Next up is going to be the new hairline, Damon Jackson, versus Alexander Hernandez. I think I said Anthony Hernandez earlier. That's my mistake. Alexander Hernandez is a notorious quitter. Damon Jackson is a notorious tough guy who notably lost to Ilia Topuria. And that was a one-sided whooping, too. But since then, you know, he's done all right. He beat Charles Rosa, Kirk, Argoleta, Sabatini. Then he's lost two in a row to Dan Ige and Billy Q, which this was going to probably be his swan song in the UFC. But with the new hairline, he can't be beat, right? Alexander Hernandez really did a good job in this fight of actually not quitting. So I've always criticized Alexander Hernandez for quitting. Like, in a fight, when it gets hard, he quits. You know, he's explosive. He has a lot of strong attributes. You know, you remember the Benil Dariush fight. He knocked him out. He got a win over Olivier Aubin Mercier, which was fantastic. But, like, he was on a big come-up, and he was meant to be fed to Cowboy at lightweight. And, like, he come out the gates real hot against Cowboy, and he you know, eventually lost that fight. Beat Francesco Tonaldo. Really good fight with Drew Dober. Chris Gutzmacher he beat. Lost to Thiago Moises. Beat Breeden. Now he's like 1-4 in his last five. Lost to Moicano and Billy Q. He beat Jim Miller, sadly. How was that? That was a decision. And then he's lost now to Bill Algeo and Damon Jackson. Really cool to see, though, Hernandez kind of staying into this fight and to keep the pace going, keep the pressure going. He actually didn't fight too crazy of a pace. Damon Jackson just did a good job of getting the fight to the fence where he could slow down the faster and more powerful Alexander Hernandez. And that's what you do with a fighter that's like a little more unruly and wild than what you are, and you can't hold on to him. So Damon Jackson managed to really get in there and grind him out against the fence. And, you know, the last round was kind of the crux, and Damon Jackson come out and do something incredibly stupid. He threw a push kick to the face. I don't know why, but he did. It was a push kick, and Alexander Hernandez steps in and lands a right and knocks him down. He was on wobbly everything. It was rough for Damon Jackson, and I kind of thought Alexander Hernandez won the fight. I gave him the first and the third round, especially off the knockdown, but the judges ended up doing the split decision again to Damon Jackson, and Damon gets the win. I'm not going to say I don't like Alexander Hernandez, but I was happy Damon Jackson won, so I mean, for whatever that's worth, right? So yeah, good fight. You know, it wasn't an amazing fight or anything like that. But you know, he managed to go out there and get the win. Next up was Shepe Marshall versus Morgan Charrier, the last pirate. Now, Morgan Charrier has a lot of hype coming in, but if you look at his record going into this fight, he was 19-9-1, meaning he didn't win 10 fights. He's a great striker. Don't get me wrong. Morgan Charrier is a fantastic striker, really good fighter, but he's really not UFC material. You know, Paul Hughes, Jordan Vinovic beat him. Soren Bach beat him. Saladin Parnas, the KSW champion who just fought out his contract. He's every good fighter he's faced, he's lost to. And I won't even say every good fighter. I'm looking through his record trying to see if there's anybody else, and no, there's really not. Paul Hughes fought him. He's like the next big thing coming through. He's got one loss to Jordan Vinovic, but he's got wins over, the last pirate. He's got Quay Hagen's win, Charrier, and now Fabio Silva, which he won this weekend. Anyways, Morgan Charrier is a very good fighter, but he just doesn't have the, I don't know what it is. He's missing something. Like, he has a killer instinct. I don't want to say he doesn't have a killer instinct. But when he's fighting, it's like, he kind of just drops the ball. So he took on a very tough Chepe Marichal, and I'm not going to say his whole name for the rest of the show because it's tough to say his last name. 15-6 record coming in this fight, but he's now 3-0 in the UFC. He beat Trevor Peak, Jack Jenkins, which was a arm injury, and now Morgan Charrier, which was a really big fight. Where's he coming off of? CFC, Cage Warriors, LFA. So he's fought around the scene on the regional area. So one thing I really noticed from this was, like, Morgan Charrier is not very good on the back foot, and specifically when you press him against the cage. He has great wrestling, he has great striking, but somehow the defensive wrestling against the cage is not his cup of tea. And I can't blame him, you know, that's not a great place to be. He's not terrible there either. Like, he had a couple times, I think it was, or he at least once, where he dropped levels to a knee, did a beautiful peek out like he was an NCAA wrestler or something. And he's French. He's not a wrestler. He's a savate guy, right? But you know, he did a good job of reversing a couple of Chepe's a couple of his takedowns and stuff, but he still managed to get taken down over and over again. And that's not going to cut it for you, cuz. That's not going to be it. And it sure enough wasn't. It wasn't enough for him. Instead, he saw himself just kind of getting controlled for vast majority of some of the rounds. Now, if you're going to concede position against the cage over and over again, you have to come to the understanding that I'm losing every second I spin here. Even if I'm trying to stop the takedown, I'm losing every stop because I'm getting controlled. And control is above everything but damage, I think it is. I'm not sure. But anyways, like, he just has to make sure that he understands and he's okay with that fact. And he didn't seem like he was, you know, mad about the fact that he gave up the position that entire time, because he did, though. He gave up the position a lot of the fight. I said, I joked around and said I pulled up everything. I didn't pull up everything. I didn't get UFC stats up, and I'm going to do that right now. Let's see. So how much of this was control time? Chepe landed a lot of more strikes. Goodness, 71-49. It didn't feel like that. 3 minutes and 38 seconds of control time. That doesn't even count, like, against the fence, I don't believe. So, yeah. So, another thing I noticed about Chepe, like, he got tired early because he was going all out round one. But he still managed to grind through and get a lot of work done. But when he was hitting Morgan Charrier, he was knocking him on the ground. Like, and it wasn't even like he's hurting him. It was just, like, so hard and so fast. Like, even if it landed against his guard, like, Morgan Charrier would just fall to the ground. I was like, oh, my gosh. This dude's just, like, running through him. So, Chepe ends up getting the win. Morgan Charrier back to the drawing board. He's now 19-10. That's not the type of record you want to see in the UFC. Let's be honest. You don't want it. Now, I don't want to say, like, we want to get to where we're, like, fighting Can so we can get this record up, because Morgan Charrier is a really good fighter. But I don't think he'll ever be UFC champion. He might make it ranked one day, but, you know, he's fun, he's good, but his body of work doesn't tell me, hey, I'm going to be something special one day. He's really not. I don't think he is. He's a fun fighter. It's going to be fun to analyze and be like, in 5-10 years, hey, you remember Morgan Charrier? That dude was pretty good. But, you know, he just can't make the cut. He drops the ball when it's important. The last fight we're going to talk about now is Ignacio Bahamondes. I like saying that name. Ignacio Bahamondes. He took on Christos Yagos, a very tough opponent. Or he should be a very tough opponent. Christos Yagos is a Greek fighter. He shared the cage with some of the best. Obviously now, Ignacio Bahamondes, but he also, Armin Saryukin, Ricky Glenn, Charles Oliveira notably, Josh Emmett, Chris Wade, Gilbert Burns. This guy's fought a lot of good people. So he's a good test to see just how good you are. Because if you're going down looking at it, he's not, like, invincible by any means. But Saryukin knocked him out. As a matter of fact, Jakar Close didn't knock him out. Charles Oliveira, he had a good first round against Oliveira, actually. Josh Emmett knocked him out. Never mind, this guy gets knocked out all the time. Gilbert Burns via armbar also. So Ignacio Bahamondes comes in. He is a very exciting fighter. He's had some ups and downs in the UFC, but he's also, I believe he's still young. He's got a decent record, too, I think. Yeah, 15-5. How old is he? 26. He's a kickboxer. Lost to Ludovic Klein, which is okay. Lost to John McDessie. So that's his only two losses in the UFC. Comes in off the Contender Series and has 1, 2, 3, 4 wins, 2 losses. So he's a fun prospect. Now, what I like about Ignacio Bahamondes, because I'm going to keep saying his name over and over again, is how he switches stances and he uses the weapons differently from each stance. We talked about that with, like, Alex Pereira in the film study. But at the same time, like, he does it too, and that's what led to the knockout. So you'll see, like, he'll be in orthodox with his, yeah, he'll be in orthodox with his left hand forward, I had to think for a second. And then he switched against Yagos in the first round to his southpaw position, which brought his left foot to the back, and that's where he landed the high kick. But throughout the fight, he's punching straight. He's going to throw the wheel kick because he has that masterful knockout against Roosevelt Roberts. He also has a win by Bravo choke, which is wild. He goes in there and he starts really piecing up Christos Yagos. One thing I really am concerned about him, and I do want to do like a film study on Ignacio Bahamondes one day because I just like him like that. But one thing I do notice is that he doesn't move his head. And he gets hit a lot. And that's what caused him to lose against Ludovic Klein and John McDessie. He kind of just gets hit, and he's there to be hit, even though he makes these big explosive movements. You know, he can go the distance. He's an exciting fighter, and he's also a comfortable fighter in the pocket too. But he needs to go out and kind of just work on his head movement. It'd be really cool to see him doing some Canelo type stuff and then coming up top with something. That'd be fun. Anyway, so yeah, switches to southpaw after hurting Yagos early, you know, with a I believe it was a long jab. This dude's long and lanky, and he's a lightweight, right? And he is 6'3". Dude's tall. Him and Jalen Turner would be interesting. Anyway, so he gets a knockout. So, yeah, I might do one on Ignacio Bahamondes one day. A new video, because he'd be a fun one to do, I think. He's really fun. What's his whole name? He's got a whole name. Ignacio Bahamondes Carabantes. That sounds so cool. I could just say that over and over again. What else was on this card, guys? Alex Morono. Charlie Campbell beat Trevor Peak. Alex Morono got a good win over Court McGee. That was a fun fight. Walter Walker lost. That's Johnny Walker's brother. He's not very good. He's a heavyweight. Norma Dumont beat Jermaine Durandamy after Durandamy's been off for about 4 years. It's a good fight. Actually, a lot of people were talking trash about it, but you know, Norma Dumont did some good job getting some takedowns here. Victor Hugo won. Cesar Almeida. Yeah, so fun card. So UFC 300 is coming up. That's the next fight card, and I'm excited about it, to say the least. It's going to be a big podcast. I might do a preview show on this one, actually. Look for that, like, Wednesday. I might record it Tuesday if I remember and I have the time to, but that'd be really fun to do, like, a preview show or predictions and stuff. I don't really have as much time these days to do all of them, but I've done them for some of the cards. And UFC 300, we're going to do it for it because this is a big card. Main event is obviously Alex Pereira, and that's going to be a real good fight. I did a big film study on Alex Pereira. You know how I like my film studies. And we identified, you know, why is his low kick special? What makes his left hook dangerous? We had Miguel Class come in and take us to school on why the left hook works so well for Pereira and how to use it. We also talked about his grappling and all that. It's going to be a fun fight. He's fighting Jamal Hall Hill. You've got Zhang Wei Li versus Zhao Jianyan, the first China versus China fight. You've got Gaethje versus Holloway for the Violence Bowl. It's going to be a great night of fights. This is one you don't want to miss, and I got to make a show on it. I just have to.